If you were here last week, we began a series in the book of Ecclesiastes. We're simply continuing that this morning. And just a reminder as well, if you came in this morning and you did not get one of these reading cards last week, they are back out in the lobby. I encourage you to pick one up so that you can just read along at home, know what passage is coming, can study, prepare in advance. It's just, I think, a good way to just sort of keep up with what's happening in our series. Well, if you have ever seen the movie Groundhog Day with Bill Murray, then you know that it's the story of a guy who is cursed to relive the same day, February the 2nd, over and over and over and over and over again. And in order to sort of cope with this monotonous prison of living the same day over and over again, he tries all kinds of things to try to make life better, to make life more bearable, life more tolerable. But no matter what he does, no matter what he tries, no matter how many different things he gives himself to, every day he wakes up and it is still February 2nd. And at one point in the movie, when he's first trying to figure out what in the world is going on, he sits down with two guys at a bar in a bowling alley, and he asks, "What would you do if you were stuck in one place and every day was exactly the same and nothing you did really mattered?" And one of the guys puts down his beer mug. He says, "Yeah, well, that about sums it up for me." And I wonder, right, how many of us have ever felt that same way about life? Right, where no matter what we do, every day feels exactly the same, where you're just, every day feels like you're just spending your life in a never-ending cycle of monotonous redundancy. Right, every day just feels like a tedious repetition of the day before. You wake up and you go through the same basic motions. And you think about today, and then you realize that tomorrow, you're just gonna get up and you're gonna redo today all over again. You think to yourself, you know, I might as well be a hamster, right? Yeah, I'm just always spinning my wheels, but never really sure that I'm actually going anywhere. Because when I get up in the morning every day, is just more of the same old, same old. And if you've ever felt that way, you're not alone, because this seems to be the very issue that the preacher in the book of Ecclesiastes is wrestling with himself in the passage that we're going to look at this morning. Now, if you remember from last week, the preacher, verse 1, introduced us in verse 2 to his assessment of life on planet Earth as a human being, that all is vanity. And what we have this morning is sort of his first observation about life that brings him to that conclusion. And that observation is the monotonous drudgery, right? The monotonous redundancy of life, right? Where every day just feels like the same old thing and you're never really sure that you're getting anywhere, nothing new, nothing gained, just the same old, with nothing really to ever show for it. So, what do you do when your joy in life is robbed by that feeling of being stuck in that never-ending cycle of monotonous drudgery? Well, in the movie Groundhog Day, it wasn't until the main character actually learned to see life from a certain perspective that everything changed, that he was freed from his curse, and he woke up and it was February 3rd, a new day. And believe it or not, Ecclesiastes actually wants to teach us something very similar this morning. That if your joy in life is being robbed and you want to be freed from that feeling of being stuck in the never-ending cycle of daily monotonous drudgery, then there's a certain perspective that we need to not only learn, but it's a certain perspective that we need to treasure, to cherish. Because there is a way to view life that actually does change everything. So let's read together this morning, picking back up in Ecclesiastes chapter 1, and let's read verses 3 through 11. What does man gain by all the toil at which he toils under the sun? A generation goes and a generation comes, but the earth remains forever. The sun rises and the sun goes down and hastens to the place where it rises. The wind blows to the south and goes around to the north, and around goes the wind, and on its circuits the wind returns. All streams run to the sea, but the sea is not full. To the place where the streams flow, there they flow again. All things are full of weariness. A man cannot utter it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. What has been is what will be, and what has been done is what will be done, and there is nothing new under the sun. Is there a thing of which it is said, "See, this is new"? It has been already in the ages before us. There is no remembrance of former things, nor will there be any remembrance of later things yet to be among those who come after. Father, now we pray as we open your word that you would, by the power of your Spirit, grant us ears to hear and eyes to see, and that your will would be done in our lives, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, 3 points to consider this morning: a natural question, a number of illustrations, and then a new perspective. A natural question, a number of illustrations, and then a new perspective. We begin with number one, a natural question. In verse 3, the preacher asks, what does man gain by all the toil at which he toils under the sun? And it's a natural question, right? It's a question that everybody has, that people have about every job, every work, every labor, right? If I'm waking up every single morning and I'm going to put in all this toil, then I want to know, is it worth it? Right? Am I really accomplishing anything? Am I really getting anywhere? Right? If every day I wake up and I'm grinding the same old axe and I'm spinning the same old wheels, what's the payoff? Right? What's the reward? What kind of return am I going to get on this investment? Right? What will I have to show for all of my labor? Right, people ask that as they give 8, 9, 10 hours a day to their job. Right, parents ask this as they invest decades into their children. Right, students ask this as they pour years into their classwork. Right, couples can ask this as they spend an entire lifetime on a marriage. Right, everybody's asking, if I do this every day, I want to know that it's worth it. Because if the gain is worthwhile, then I suppose, then yes, the toil then is worthwhile. So, what will I gain for all of my toil? Unfortunately, from the preacher's perspective, at least for the time being, the answer is not very encouraging. Right? People spend their days working hard, laboring for some kind of payoff, but what do they really get for all of their effort? Not much, if anything at all. Right? That 10-hour a day job produces more stress than satisfaction, and the reward for parents who invest 2 decades into their child seems to be just a wayward 20-year-old who has rejected most of what you have tried to teach him. Right? In other words, the honest truth, the hard truth, the discouraging truth is that sometimes, actually oftentimes, life under the sun does not pay the kind of dividends we hoped it would, or that we thought it would, or that we imagined it would. So it seems. So it seems. And to prove his point, the preacher offers us a number of illustrations, which is point number two. A number of illustrations. In verse 4, the preacher says, a generation goes and a generation comes, but the earth remains forever. Right? In other words, time marches on and yet nothing ever really changes. There's nothing new, nothing gained, just the same old, same old. Right? The same monotony, the same frustrations, the same toil, the same labor over and over. And there's actually a bit of irony in the way that the preacher introduces us to this in verse 4, because the rise of each new generation tends to at least elicit talk of something new, right? Something hopeful, you know, maybe a better, brighter future with a new generation. And the preacher says, no, not really. Not really. Right? Eventually, the older generation just dies off. The younger generation becomes the older generation. And then there's another generation after that. But that's nothing new. Right? It's just the same repetitive cycle. A generation goes, a generation comes, but it's the same old story. It's the same old story, right? The earth remains forever. Yes, indeed, the world is a very redundant, repetitive place. I take the sun, for example, the preacher says in verse 5. Up and down, back and forth, east to west, round and round it goes, day after day, again and again and again and again goes the sun. Right, and that word hastens there in verse 5 is actually a Hebrew expression that means to pant, to gasp, right? As if the sun itself, right, is just in this exhausting cycle of just sort of huffing it back and forth, but never really going anywhere, never really gaining anything, except maybe just shortness of breath. That's its reward. And the wind, verse 6, does not seem to fare much better than the sun, right? Around and round it goes. It blows past only to turn around and blow past again, right? Always following its course, but never seeming to reach a destination. Over and over and over. And then there's the streams, verse 7, right? They all run to the sea, but the sea is not full. Now, you think it would be, right? I mean, after all this time, pushing all this water, but nope, no matter how much water those streams push into the sea, it's never enough, right? So those streams, they're always flowing, but they're never filling. Never done, it's never over. There's just more water to push around still. And the preacher's point is to say, now, ain't that just like life? Ain't that life? Round and round we go. Every day. Same old story. And where's the progress? What's the profit? What's the gain in all this? Right? You go to work every day, you finish one project, and there's another one right behind it. You're never done. Or maybe you spend your whole life working for one company only to be laid off. No benefits, no severance, nothing to show for years of dedication except maybe exhaustion. Right? And no matter how much you do around the house, there's always more meals to prepare. There's always more laundry to fold, right? There's always something broken that needs fixing, right? As soon as you check one thing off the to-do list, there's just two more that get put right back on it. So around and around you go, up and down, back and forth, over and over, day after day. The sun and the wind and the streams, if they all have nothing to show for all of their labor, then brothers and sisters, what hope do we have? In fact, it makes the preacher tired just thinking about it, right? Verse 8, it's wearying, all of it. In fact, he says it's so wearying, it's hard to put into words just how wearying it can be, right? A man cannot utter it, he says. Right? One scholar I read comments, the sense of that statement is that sometimes the feeling of weariness is so mind-boggling that it exceeds human ability to even describe it. And I totally get that, actually. Because just last week, I literally spent hours, multiple hours, fixing one part of a leaking toilet, only to have another part of the same toilet start leaking as soon as I was done. And I just sat on the floor and I said, I don't even know what to say. And the preacher's like, "You, yes, yes," says the preacher. That's it, right there. That's it. That ain't that life sometimes. This exhausting cycle, the same old work, the same old labor, the same old problems, the same old situation leaving you stuck in the same old place where you feel like nothing is getting accomplished. And sometimes it just leaves you speechless, right? You just sort of run out of words. You don't even know what to say anymore. And as if the preacher has not sufficiently made his point, he actually presses his point a little further, right? Almost as if to say to us, hey, you know what? And sometimes we don't do ourselves any favors here, right? Think about your eyes and your ears, end of verse 8. Always seeing, always hearing, but just like the sea in verse 7, they never have their fill. But what do? We just keep feeding ourselves, right, with an endless repetition of sights and sounds. Just keep feeding them in. We keep coming back, right, for one more show, one more song, one more video, one more text, one more tweet, one more scroll through Facebook. But it's never enough, right? So around and around we go, filling the eyes, filling the ears. And what have we gained? So often, just more weariness. And then finally, there's all of human history to consider. Because as any true student of history knows, history is always repeating itself. Verse 9, what has been is what will be, and what has been done is what will be done. Whoops. For there is nothing new under the sun. There's nothing new. Now, of course, that sounds like such a sweeping statement that my first temptation is to immediately try to think of some kind of counterexample here, right? And actually, that's a temptation that the preacher anticipates in verse 10. Is there a thing of which it can be said? See, this is new. Well, the preacher says, it has been already in the ages past before us. It's sort of like the experience every little kid in elementary school has, right? When they're taught that in 1492, Columbus sailed the ocean blue, discovered a brand new world. That's certainly new. That was a new thing. Only later then, as a little kid, does it finally dawn on you, wait a minute, but weren't there like a ton of people already there when he got there? Guess it wasn't that new after all. Wasn't new to them. So if you ever think you've discovered something new, brand new in the present, just know you can always find some parallel story of the same kind of thing in the past. All right, it's just another version of something that's already happened before. Because there's nothing truly new under the sun. And if it ever seems like there really is, verse 11, it's just because people have forgotten. Right, there's no remembrance of former things, the preacher says. Human beings tend to suffer from a kind of historical amnesia. They just forget. But the fact of the matter is, nations rise, nations fall. There are times of war and there are times of peace. And though some of the details may differ, at the end of the day, history is just one long parade of reruns. And the preacher's point is that this is life under the sun. Just an endless, monotonous, repetitive cycle of the same old, same old. It seems like nothing new, nothing gained. What am I doing? And the preacher wants us to see and to feel and identify with the weariness and the fatigue and the vanity of all of that. And I'm sure all of us do to one degree or another. We can relate different times, different seasons to that weariness of, man, am I nothing but a hamster? Spinning my wheels, accomplishing nothing. Where am I going? What am I doing? We're supposed to identify with that. We're meant to identify. That's life under the sun. But brothers and sisters, let's remember. If you were here last week, then let's try to remember together. The preacher is trying to lead us somewhere. Right? There's an end goal in mind. There's a destination that he is trying to bring us to by the end of this sermon. Right? He's giving us this perspective on life here in verses 3 through 11, ultimately to lead us to a new one, a new perspective, a different perspective, right? Which is our third point this morning, a new perspective, right? And in order to really understand what that new perspective is, right, we have to understand the meaning of this phrase, under the sun. Critical phrase in the book, right? He introduces it in verse 3. He repeats it in verse 9. And he will use it almost 30 different times over the course of the whole book. And you cannot really understand the book without understanding the phrase. So what's the point of the phrase? Well, it's a phrase that is intentionally earthbound. It's a phrase that is looking at life from the ground level, right? It's viewing life from a worldly point of view, right? Where everything is horizontal. Nothing's vertical, right? So ruling out and overlooking, right, all higher possibilities and higher realities. And thus, it is a phrase that is often leaving God out of the equation. It's taking God out of the picture. And again, I think Phil Ryken in his commentary says this so well when he writes and summarizes this way. He says, in other words, this is what life is like when we view it from a merely human perspective. When we limit our gaze to this solar system without ever lifting our eyes to see the beauty and the glory of God in heaven. If that is all we see, then life will leave us empty and unhappy. But when we look to God with reverence and awe, we are able to see meaning in life and beauty in its pleasures and the eternal significance of everything we do, including the little things. And I would add, including the monotonous things, the repetitive things of everyday life. There's a new perspective we're meant to have. See, the reason the preacher wants us to wrestle and identify with the weariness of life under the sun is because he wants to then drive us to the God of heaven who rules over the sun, who is above the sun, who is beyond the sun, right? And he wants to give us a new perspective that looks above the sun, that looks over the sun, that looks beyond the sun, right? A new perspective that is able to then see God in a way that changes things, changes weariness to hope, weariness to joy, actually. Weariness to rest. So, when life feels like you are stuck in a never-ending cycle of the same old, what difference does it make to bring God back into the picture? To factor God back into the equation? Well, let's take a moment and consider a new perspective. That every day is not just the same old, but every day is actually a gift from God to be enjoyed. That today, this day, this is the day that the Lord has made. And therefore, let us rejoice and be glad in it. Psalm 118, verse 24. And even though, verse 4, 5, 6, and 7, look at the natural world, right? The sun and the wind and the water, and fail to see anything meaningful, anything productive actually being done. Psalm 19 declares that the heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. So even though it goes up and down and back and forth day after day, the sun is not wearied or exhausted by the monotony. The sun is not disillusioned as if nothing is being gained. In fact, quite the contrary. The sun, quote, comes out like a bridegroom leaving his chamber and like a strong man running its course with joy, Psalm 19, verse 5, as it bears witness to the glory of God. And actually, Psalm 113, verse 3, then invites us to join the sun. From the rising of the sun to the going down, let the name of the Lord be praised. The sun is not saying vanity. The sun is saying, join me. In finding joy and finding strength in the worship and in the praise of the God who made you. The wind blows at his bidding. The water flows at his command, Psalm 104. The up and down, the back and forth, the constant repetition of nature, that is not a story of monotony. That is a story of the constant faithfulness and goodness and character of God Almighty. The sun, the wind, the streams, they are all daily reminders that the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases, that his mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Lamentations 3. And when verse 10 asks, is there anything of which it can be said, see, this is new? Well, maybe not if we just look under the sun. But there is a God in heaven who rules over the sun, and he says in Isaiah 43, verse 19, behold, I am doing a new thing. And when the Apostle Paul preached the gospel in the book of Romans, he said in chapter 8 that because of sin, the whole world, all of creation, was then subjected to futility. Right, the Greek translation of the Old Testament, it's the same word that Ecclesiastes uses for vanity. Yes, there is a futility, there is a vanity in this world. But the good news of the gospel is that when Christ died on the cross, he suffered the curse of sin in all of its futility, in all of its vanity, in order to free us from its futility and its vanity, Romans 8, verse 21. And so now through the gospel, there is something new. There is a new covenant in the blood of Jesus Christ, which frees us from the bondage of sin, Luke 22, verse 20. And it's not just a new perspective that we can have, it's a new heart that God gives to all of those who trust in Christ, Ezekiel 36, verse 26. And it's a new life that we have in his name, John 20, verse 31. And no, we are not just stuck in the same old every day. Because day by day, every day, right? Even in those monotonous things that happen every day, in all of those things and in all of those days, the Holy Spirit is using those things to renew us into a new self, the Bible says. Created to be like Christ in true righteousness and holiness, Ephesians 4, verse 24. And history is not ultimately stuck on repeat. For a day is coming when God will make a new heavens and a new earth and a new creation, 2 Peter 3, verse 13, right? And when that day comes, our never satisfied eyes and ears will see what no eye has seen and will hear what no ear has ever heard and what no heart has ever imagined, 1 Corinthians 2:9. That God is preparing something new for those who love him. And when that day comes, all of our senses, our eyes, our ears will fully and finally be saturated and satisfied in the presence of the glory of God, in whose presence is fullness of joy and pleasure forevermore, Psalm 16:11. So, when verse 3 asks, what do we gain by all of our toil under the sun? Jesus could take a question like that and turn it around and say, well, what if you gained the whole world and yet lost your soul? Now, truly, truly, I say to you, that would be vanity of vanities. But Jesus came to redeem us from this world and to save our souls so that in the end, our gain is something greater than anything this world could ever offer us. That is our gain, brothers and sisters. And the very fact that we can grow weary of this life, we can grow weary in this life, is pointing us, it's driving us, or at least it's meant to the God who can both save and satisfy our souls forever. Band can come. But brothers and sisters, this is the daily challenge of living life under the sun, isn't it? Right? Our default perspective, my default perspective, right, is always an under the sun perspective. I wake up every morning with an under the sun perspective. That is the default perspective. It's easy. It takes no work, no effort. I just open my eyes and start a day. But this new perspective, it's harder. It takes effort. It takes intentionality. Right? When you're bogged down in the humdrum monotony of daily life and you are wondering what is to be gained from it all, don't forget, don't fail to look up, to preach the gospel to yourself. Right? And to see the glory and the grace and the goodness and the salvation of God again. Because this is the only thing that changes our weariness to hope, our weariness to rest, our weariness to joy, right? Producing perseverance in us because we know that life's frustrations will not last forever. Because in Christ, we live with the hope of a new day, a new life, a new creation in Christ. So let's end, brothers, let's end by looking up and preaching the gospel to ourselves. Let's stand and let's sing together.